Inshallah, we'll begin. Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ba'd. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. Alhamdulillah. All praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given us the tawfiq to gather together to continue on our course regarding etiquettes of learning. Apologies for missing the lesson last week, but unfortunately I had some commitments that I could not get away from, so apologies for that again. Alhamdulillah. We'll carry on from where we left off, inshallah. So the overall topic is etiquette of the learner. We already spoke about the fada'il of ilm and scholars. Thereafter, we spoke about the etiquettes of a student within himself. And then we began etiquettes of a student with his teacher. And within the section of etiquettes of a student with his teacher, we have been discussing many different adab or manners that a person should have while interacting with his teacher, or even before the interaction, just his overall perception of the teacher, his opinion of the teacher. And so the last point we were discussing was regarding the honor and praise, honoring one's teacher and praising one's teacher, right? And this is something that comes naturally to some people. Maybe in some cultures it becomes very easy. For other people, it's something that you need to work towards. Sometimes it can be very difficult. The teacher can make it absolutely difficult. Sometimes the teacher can make it very difficult for you to respect and honor them. But subhanAllah, that's where the test lies. And inshallah, you'll be rewarded if you leave selfish or personal feelings aside and you purely concentrate on what the teacher is giving you, which is ilm, and hopefully salvation in the hereafter. Then you can appreciate him. You can learn to look past his faults or her faults, and you can start to focus on what's important. Right, so honoring and praising a teacher. There's a number of points we discussed regarding that, but what I want to talk about today is addressing with second person pronouns. Now, addressing people with different pronouns, we're not going to get into the debate that is everywhere at the moment. What we're going to be speaking about, subhanAllah, is how you address someone who is older than you, someone who holds a position of respect. How should you speak to them? Now, it's really interesting. The other day, I was speaking to an elder my father-in-law. I was speaking to him in English. And someone else told me I should speak to him in Urdu, right? Now, I explained that my father-in-law speaks to me in English and I speak to him in English because I don't, my Urdu is not great. Well, it's very, very bad. And I make too many mistakes in my Urdu. But he pointed out something very interesting. And he said, Urdu is more respectful. There are a lot more terms in Urdu where the language is just more respectful. And you could say that about Arabic too. This is not to say that English is disrespectful. That's not what we're saying. But you need to know and you need to have the right vocabulary, the right understanding. Some of us, we know English, but we don't really know English. And therefore, when we speak, it might come across as very disrespectful. So, for example, take the word your. I'm coming to your house, right? in Arab, in English, it's in English, it's your house. I'm coming to your house today. Or can I come to your house today? Right? In Urdu or Arabic, there's a way of saying it which makes it more respectful. So instead of saying Ajiu ila baytik, inshallah, I will come to your house, inshallah. Baytik, as in baytika. If you say Ajiu ila baytikum with the plural, subhanAllah, it becomes a lot more respectful. So you have these things in a number of languages. You might have something. If there's anyone in on any of our students here who know about ways in English or any other languages where you can bring across that level of respect, then feel free to share. I personally am not aware of maybe that. This is language that no one uses anymore. Thy house, I will come to thy house. Maybe you don't use that kind of language anymore, so just ignore that. People will laugh at you. But subhanAllah, addressing with second person pronouns, right? So yours, I'm coming to your house. I'm coming to your baytuka, baytukum, right? Now, so any refined, eloquent language is very careful with their words, right? And it's best to avoid second-person pronouns in scholarly writing also, because they remove the distance between the reader and the writer. This is actually, in English, this is a quote from the Academic Guides website, where when you're writing, it's best to take out the second-person pronouns. And this is in scholarly writing. By the way, in scholarly writing, you should remove second-person pronouns, because with second-person pronouns, it affords a certain level of casual relationship, right? So in academic writing, there is supposed to be a distance. By you using second-person pronouns generally, then that removes that distance, right? So the danger, if you get too familiar, get too casual, there's the danger of starting to maybe disrespecting someone, right? So that's why it's very important we be careful about what we say and who we say it to. Khatib al-Baghdadi said that a person, should say, O respected teacher, or O respected scholar, Ya ayyuhal ustadh. Right? In Arabic, you can say ya to someone, ya rajul, oh man, ya Muhammad, oh Muhammad. And that's fine. But subhanAllah, for the extra level of respect and reverence, you can put ayyuha or ayyatuha, ya ayyatuha al-mudarrisa, ya ayyuha al-ustadh, ya ayyuha al-alim, and so on. Right? Also, when you're asking a question, you know, ma ra'yuka fi hadha? Fi hadha al-amr, ma ra'yuka? Instead of saying ma ra'yuka, ma ra'yukum? Ma ra'yukum fi hadhihi shay, fi hadhihi al-amr? Right? What is your opinion regarding this or regarding that? Using second person plurals, right, for respect, instead of the singular forms and the like. This is what Khatib al-Baghdadi, the famous scholar, said. Avoid calling the teacher by his name or her name, right? Even in his absence, subhanAllah, right? There's a level of respect you need to have for elders, parents, teachers, where you don't call them by their name. But subhanAllah, even more than that, there are some people who have so much respect for their parents or their teachers. Even if their parents and teachers are not present, they will not use their names. So they will say, Ustaduna, Shaykh al-Hadith said this, Hujjat al-Islam said this, and so on and so forth. Again, is that necessary? But really, we should be asking, is any of this really, really necessary? But the point is, subhanAllah, the more you do, inshallah, the more you will benefit and the more and the closer you will get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another adab to bear in mind is with teachers is to remember their favors upon you. Understand that the teacher has rights over us, right? Don't forget the greatest favor upon you from the teacher is the fact that he is teaching you. Shu'bah radiallahu anhu rahimahullahu ta'ala said, كنت إذا سمعت من الرجل الحديث كنت له عبدا ما يحيى. Subhanallah. If I ever heard a single narration from someone, I would be his servant for as long as he lived. A similar quote is quoted from Ali radiallahu anhu. من علمني حرفا فأنا مولاه فأنا عبده. And then he says, Insha'a a'taqani wa insha'a habasani. Subhanallah. Ali radiallahu anhu said, whoever teaches me one letter, I'm his slave. If he wants to sell me, he can sell me. If he wants to keep me, he can keep me. Because these people realize the value of knowledge. And so those giving them even an iota of knowledge, they really, really respected them. But the respect just shouldn't just end there, right? Our respect is limited to when my ustad is right in front of me or I am interacting with him. But subhanAllah, many people never forget the ihsan done upon them by other people, right? So certain teachers, when they pass away, subhanAllah, they pray for them. They ask Allah to forgive them. They do good to their families. Right, they send food to their families, or for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Khadija radiallahu anha passed away, he would send gifts and food to the friends of Khadija radiallahu anha because of his love for his late wife. So respect your teacher when he's alive or she's alive. When they pass away, respect them too. And how would you do that? The way in which you do that is through making dua for them, supplicating for them, being good to their family, praying and seeking forgiveness for them, right? So this is how you continuously remember your teacher's favors and continue to try and benefit them, even though they're not with us anymore, maybe. One of the most important aspects of adab etiquette with teachers is patience. And we spoke about this very briefly in the beginning. Now, it's extremely difficult to do this, as we said, for some, right? And we mentioned that one of the reasons that might be is because a person's culture generally is that way. Excuse me. Hence, it's easier. But that's not the only reason. Another reason why it's very difficult for some people is because we haven't worked on our egos, right? We haven't worked on humility, trying to be humble, because we always have something to prove, or we always have to prove someone else wrong and prove ourselves right, right? But what we need to understand is teachers are human, and they might make mistakes. They do make mistakes, some teachers more than others. What you need to understand is you need to be patient when you encounter harshness or a lapse in manners from your teacher. For example, we're talking about all these adab, and then if you see me, for example, not applying one of them, I hope you're patient with me and you don't point it out and say, Sheikh, what's going on? What's going on, Sheikh? You're not doing this thing, right? Only the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was perfect. The teacher themselves should aim for the highest of standards, but the students should not hold the teachers to the highest standard. Similarly, the student should hold himself at the highest standard, but the teacher should not hold the students at that standard. SubhanAllah, if each, the relationship, because at a level of equilibrium, if there's understanding from both sides and patience, then SubhanAllah, it becomes an amazing relationship, right? So if you see mistakes in your teacher, if you encounter some harshness, right, it's very important to be patient. SubhanAllah, I remember someone sent me a clip of a scholar, a well-known scholar, mashallah, and he was telling his story about his teacher in Medina, if I'm not mistaken, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala. He's telling a story, and he said, I misjudged the scenario and the situation, and I interrupted unknowingly, and I was pushed back by the Sheikh. Or he says, I was struck on the side by the Sheikh, right? And not so much that he got hurt, it was just like a tap, like, SubhanAllah, what are you doing? You're not supposed to do that, that's not right. And the beautiful thing is, I appreciated in this scholar, is that he looks back at it fondly. That, oh, SubhanAllah, my ustad, my sheikh, hit me here, SubhanAllah, or struck me here. And that becomes a memory for him. A fond memory that, SubhanAllah, my teacher struck me here and he taught me about adab, that you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. Right? So sometimes if you encounter harshness, there's been times, I'm sure all of us have been in a scenario where a teacher may have said something or done something which we didn't like, right? But SubhanAllah, the way of the scholars of Islam from the time of the Salaf al-Salihun has always been to try and make excuses for the teacher. And I mean, you should do this for every Muslim, right? Even if he's not your teacher, she's not your teacher, if someone did something, try and make excuses for them instead of making excuses only for yourself and holding everyone to an amazing standard, right? So make excuses for your teacher. Now, having said that, if you are a teacher, that should not give you a sense of pride too, or a feeling of, yeah, you know, I am something special and I deserve this. Na'udhu billah. The teacher is also given advice and is told never, ever, ever do dhulm upon a student. And as we've mentioned before, our teacher always used to call the students the guests of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And just remember, when if you have students, right, never treat the guests of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any way other than complete honor, right? But from the student side, if the teacher does something, a lapse in judgment, has a lapse in judgment, then try to make excuses. A poet once said, "Isbir li da'ika in jafawta tabibahu, wasbir li jahlika in jafawta mu'allima." SubhanAllah. Be content with your disease if you avoid your physician, and be content with ignorance if you avoid your teacher. If you know your doctor is going to stick a needle in your arm and you don't like that, an injection, you have an option. Let's just not go to the doctor, right? You have that option, but SubhanAllah, then you need to be happy with whatever the consequences are. Likewise, if you don't like when you're being reprimanded, you have an option. Just settle for ignorance. SubhanAllah. As I mentioned, this was the way of the Salaf al-Salihun, and the first level of the Salaf al-Salihun were the Sahaba. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, "I humbled myself as a student, then as a teacher I was honored." SubhanAllah, the many, many many teachers I've had always remind me and the rest of the students about this. And that is, don't be so hasty and quick to try and expect reward and return right now for your efforts. You have to struggle. You have to work when you are, a student. But subhanAllah, there will come a time, inshallah, where you'll reap the fruits, inshallah. You'll become the teacher and then you'll have students. You don't do it for this reason, of course. But subhanAllah, there are people there that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put it in their hearts. Inna al-izzata lillahi jami'a. Allah gives, Allah is the owner of izzah, and He can put izzah for you in the hearts of anyone. So if you humble yourself as a student, then inshallah you will be honored as a teacher. And we hear this again and again. Respect your parents. Your children will respect you. Your children watch the way you treat your parents. And so if your children are disobeying you, then you really need to ask yourself a question. How am I treating my parents? Imam Shafi'i rahimullahu ta'ala once reported that someone asked Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he made a comment to Sufyan ibn Uyayna. He said to Sufyan, people come to you from all over the world, but you become angry with them, right? If you've ever known certain teachers, it can be quite stern and quite, every teacher is different. They have their own nature, right? Not everyone is naturally soft. Some people might be straightforward, abrupt. The teacher says, sit down, open your book, pray, right? Don't automatically assume that to be he's a bad Muslim or he has no taqwa, right? Because he's not smiling, right? Some people say that because they want the teacher to smile. They say smiling's a sunnah, which is the classical answer from students nowadays. You're supposed to be learning. Hey, you, why are you not learning? I am learning. Why are you laughing? I'm not laughing. I'm smiling. Smiling is a sunnah. SubhanAllah. So some students will say to some teachers or say about some teachers, I don't like him. He's just too moody. He's just too moody and he doesn't smile at all. SubhanAllah. Yeah, smiling is a sunnah. But there are times where smiling isn't a sunnah. Right? We mentioned this before. Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah ta'ala, mashallah, had an amazing quality where he would try and emulate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his jolly nature. But his contemporary, Hassan al-Basri rahimullah, he would not smile, he would not laugh. And his answer was, until I do not know my final destination, I am not going to smile or laugh. Right? So think about a person's intention. And since you don't know their heart, subhanAllah, so don't be quick to criticize a teacher who might be a bit stern. So Sufyan ibn Uyayna was known to be stern. Imam Shafi says, someone said to him, people come to you from all over the world, excuse me, but you become angry with them. What are you doing? Why is your book not open? Why have you not learnt? Why are you sitting here? I can't hear you. Pray louder, right? So he said, they're probably going to leave you. Try and be nicer to people because these people will end up leaving you. Sufyan gave an amazing answer. He said to the speaker, then they are fools like you if they would leave what benefits them because of my bad manners. SubhanAllah, I love the fact that he was aware of his bad manners, which shows that he was aware of it and inshallah, he's working towards it. This is something everyone has a trial, a test. For some people, it's their attitude. For some people, it might be monetary. For some people, it might be physical, right? So he was aware that sometimes I have bad manners, but why would you forego ilm of the Kitabullah and Sunnah because of my bad manners? You're supposed to ignore my bad manners and just focus on the ilm. SubhanAllah. The next adab etiquette we need to bear in mind when with our teachers, or without, when they're not with us, is thankfulness, right? We have to thank them for the knowledge that they give us. We need to thank them for reprimanding and correcting us, right? As a teacher, and many of us who have naturally progressed from being a student into a teacher, you will notice this. You will become a lot more appreciative of your teachers who reprimanded you and corrected you, right? And when you meet them, subhanAllah, we kind of meet our teachers quite often. When we meet one after a long time, we say, subhanAllah, Ustaz, jazakallah khairan for everything you did. And subhanAllah, what's interesting is they apologize and they say, no, subhanAllah, if ever I offended you or did something wrong to you, I ask you for forgiveness. I ask Allah for forgiveness, which shows that, inshallah, the reaction from a teacher is not personal, hopefully. So when they reprimand you and correct you, you thank them. Also in class, if a teacher corrects you, you shouldn't say, this is probably going to be mentioned later when you're addressing your teacher, but don't say, oh yeah, I knew that, I just forgot, right? Because again, this is where the ego comes into play. A lot of us like to show off, claiming we know this and we know that. And the moment someone tries to correct us, it's not even restricted to teachers and students. People do this all the time with anyone. If someone points something out to them, they'll say, yeah, I knew that, right? It's a sign that, subhanAllah, we need to work on our ego. Also, thank your teachers and ask Allah to reward them for helping you through your studies and for being patient with us, subhanAllah, because many of us are very, very, I wouldn't say bad students, but testing students, troubling students. I ask Allah to reward all of my teachers abundantly. If I could go back and see some of my teachers, wallahu alam, where they are exactly. And I feel this way not just about the teachers who teach you in the dini sector, but any kind of teacher in any kind of setting, right? Whether it be of the dunya, knowledge of the dunya, or knowledge of the akhirah. In school, subhanAllah, kids can be kids. I know we're making excuses for ourselves, but subhanAllah, kids can be kids, and sometimes you get annoying and troubling and testing. And subhanAllah, a lot of the teachers, wallahu alam, where they are right now, but subhanAllah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them tawfiq, give them hidayah, give them what's best, inshallah, and forgive us for our shortcomings. What we're going to go on to now, inshallah, is seeking permission. So I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that there are certain sections in this book. Up until now, alhamdulillah, it's been very straightforward in the sense that there are kind of like points mentioned. But what you'll find now is the sections are more progressive in the sense that there will be paragraph to paragraph of how to interact in this kind of scenario, in this kind of situation. And it doesn't flow well if we were to break it down into bullet points. So I thought to myself, subhanAllah, I wanted to do this from the beginning, and a couple of teachers, they also recommended I do the same. But at the time, it was difficult because of the way the chapters were set out. But subhanAllah, since we're studying deen, we're studying ilm, it's always nice to do it in the classical way. But subhanAllah, the scholars of Islam usually had two ways in which they taught their students. You had the way of the mutaqaddimeen, and the way of the mutaakhirin. Generally, the mutaqaddimeen the teachers would, mutaqaddimin means the earlier scholars, the teachers would recite and the students, the students would listen. Later, what started to happen, mutaqaddimin, the students would recite and the teacher would listen, and the mutaakhirin, they kind of changed the format slightly. Whatever the case, subhanAllah, inshallah, hopefully with our intention to follow their way. So what I've kind of done is I've got excerpts from the book in Arabic, and I've put them on the screen for you. I have my book here. If you have your Arabic book, that would be very useful, inshallah. Does everyone have a book, an English one or an Arabic one? If you don't, it's not a problem. Just want to gauge and see who has it and who doesn't. If you have the Arabic, it'd be brilliant, mashallah, you can follow it. But this is precisely why I put it on the screen, so you can all see, inshallah. But what we'll do is I'll read through it and translate. I have the English one, Ustad. All brilliant, that's fine, that's all good. So you can follow the English too. The English is more or less a word-for-word translation, except certain sections that needed to be removed, we have removed, like the mawdu'at and things like that, but it generally has the same translation. So yeah, you can follow with the English one, that's fine. So this is on the section of seeking permission. Seeking permission. Right, so Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. What I'll do is, like I said, I will read the Arabic and the translation, and if there's any explanation required, then we can cover that together as well, inshallah. So Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ayyata'addaba fil isti'dhani ala shaykhihi. So to ask permission to enter upon the shaykh in a disciplined way. Excuse me. Alla yadkhula ala shaykh fi ghayr al-majlis al-aam illa bi isti'dhan. You shouldn't enter upon the teacher if it's not a public gathering, illa bi isti'dhan, without seeking permission first. Sawa'un kana shaykh wahda aw kana ma'ahu ghayruhu. Whether the shaykh is alone or he is with others. فَنِسْتَأْذَنَ بِحَيْثُ يُعْلَمَ الشَّيْخُ وَلَمْ يَأْذَنْ لَهُ إِنْصَرَفَ. If he asks permission to enter in a way that he knows the shaykh is aware, وَلَمْ يُؤْذَنْ لَهُ, but he's not permitted to enter, إِنْصَرَفَ, he should go straight away. وَلَا يُكَرِّرُ الْإِسْتِئْذَانِ, and he won't keep saying, Ustad, Ustad, hello, Ustad, can I come in, please, can I come in, please, are you there, are you there? If you're sure that the Ustad's room is right near the door, and it's 100%, he's either sleeping, in which case I shouldn't disturb him, or he is busy and he can't answer the door, so you should not repeat it, right? You shouldn't repeat seeking permission. وَإِنْ شَكَّ فِي عِلْمِ الشَّيْخِ بِهِ. However, if you're doubtful whether the shaykh actually knows you're there or not, فَلَا يَزِيدُ فِي الْإِسْتِئْذَانِ. So, subhanAllah, ring doorbells. So, I just came to my mind, ring doorbells, it's like a way that you can never, I mean, if the shaykh is still asleep, then if someone has a ring doorbell and they don't answer, then subhanAllah, they don't want you there. No, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, they're probably busy. But usually the ring doorbell, you get the notification on the phone or on the iPad, right? And you have it on camera, subhanAllah. Right. So if you've knocked, you've asked for permission, and you know the teacher knows, then be on your way. But if you think that maybe the teacher is, subhanAllah, his room is upstairs, and the knock on the door is not very loud, then you can persist. فَلَا يَزِيدُ فِي الْإِسْتِئْذَانِ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. However, you should not exceed three times. أَوْ ثَلَاثَ طَرَقَاتٍ. Bilbab or three knocks, Bilbab aw al-halaqa or the ring of the door. وَلْيَكُنْ تَرْقُ الْبَابِ خَفِيًّا بِأَدَبٍ بِأَثَّارِ الْأَصَابِ. Subhanallah, the attention to detail is absolutely amazing. Ibn Jama'ah says, when you knock on the door, do it lightly. بِأَدَبٍ. Even that should be with respect. بِأَثَّارِ الْأَصَابِ. Start first with your fingernails, subhanallah. Knock like that. Someone look at you thinking, this guy is mad, what is he doing? Subhanallah, this is the level of respect some people have for their shuyukh. Knock with your fingernails. If no response, ثُمَّ الْأَصَابِ. Right? ثُمَّ الْأَصَابِ. ثُمَّ بِالْحَلَقَ. Then with a fist. Not punching, but like knocking like that. قَلِيلًا قَلِيلًا. Gradually, slowly, slowly, start to go higher in noise, audibility. فإن كان الموضع بعيدا عن الباب والحلقة فلا بأس برفع ذلك بقدر ما يسمعه لا غير. If the teacher's place is far from the door or the ring which he used to knock, then there's no problem in knocking a bit louder, but in accordance to how much the sheikh would need to hear the noise. وإذا أذن وكانوا جماعة. Now, if the sheikh says, oh, subhanAllah, students are here. Yes, tafaddal, come in. If a group of them are together and they come in, يُقَدِّمُ أَفْضَلُهُمْ وَأَسَنُّهُمْ بِالدُّخُولِ, then the noblest and the oldest of them will enter first. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْهِ. And he will be the first to say salam. There's a hadith mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim in which there were a group of people who came to complain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about something, and the younger brother began to speak, and subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kabir kabir," or in a different variation, "Kabir al kubar, kabir al kubar," which means let the elder one speak. So based on that hadith, the elder one should be given preference and precedence. ثم سلم عليه الأفضل فالأفضل. Thereafter, in order of rank, those who are older or more knowledgeable, they will say salam and they will meet the sheikh. Excuse me. وينبغي أن يدخل على الشيخ كاملة الهيئة. Now, subhanallah, this Ibn Jama'ah begins speaking about being presentable, physically presentable. You need to be completely presentable when you go to see your teacher. You don't want to offend him in any way. مُتَطَهِّرُ البدن والثياب نظيفهما. With your clothes and your body completely clean. بعدما يحتاج إليه من أخذ ظفر وشعر. And this should be after you have cut your nails if they're too long, or cut any hair if it's too long. Basically, make yourself presentable. وَقَطْءُ رَائِحَةٍ كَرِيهَةٍ. Get rid of any foul smell, right? Some people, you don't realize because you're around yourself all the time. You can't tell, you really can't tell. It might be an idea to ask a trusted friend or family member who will keep it private matters private, and ask them, do you feel that there's a bad odor coming from me, or is there some people, subhanAllah, it's a sickness, it's an illness, a disease that needs to be treated. So get rid of foul smells, have a bath, do wudu, put perfume on. لَا سِيَّمَا إِن كَانَ يَقْصُدُ مَجْلِسَ الْعِلْمِ. Especially if you are going for a majlis of ilm. فَإِنَّهُ مَجْلِسُ ذِكْرٍ وَاجْتِمَاعٍ فِي عِبَادَةٍ. Because that is a gathering of the remembrance of Allah and ibadah. وَيَنْبَغِي أَن يَدْخُلَ عَلَى الشَّيْخِ وينبغي أن يدخل. This, like I said, these sections, some of them are slightly more lengthy. So if I'm jumping from paragraph to paragraph or I miss something out, it's because I'm trying to prioritize and look at our time limits and try to finish as quick as possible, inshallah. But I think we're already on the 11th week and we should have finished on the 10th, but khair, inshallah. وينبغي أن يدخل على الشيخ أو يجلس عنده وقلبه فارغ من الشواغل له وذهنه صاف. سبحان الله. When you enter upon the Shaykh and you sit with him, you need to be spiritually and mentally ready. What does that mean? وَقَلْبُهُ فَارِغٌ مِنَ الشَّوَاغِلِ. Your heart must be free from all concerns, right? And your mind must be clean and clear. وَإِذَا حَضَرَ مَكَانَ الشَّيْخِ فَلَمْ يَجِدْهُ جَالِسًا. If you arrive at the teacher's place and you don't find him sitting there, انتظره, he will wait for him. كَيْ لَا يَفُوتَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ دَرْسَهُ, so that you do not miss his lesson. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ دَرْسٍ يَفُوتُ لَا عِوَضَ لَهُ. Because every lesson that is missed, there is no replacement for it. Subhanallah. وَلَا يَطْرِقُ عَلَيْهِ لِيَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِ. Subhanallah. Another thing you should never do, if you're at the teacher's house, don't knock and say, we're waiting for you to come out for lesson, Shaykh. Right? وَإِن كَانَ نَائِمًا. If the teacher is asleep in the house, صَبَرَ. Be patient. حَتَّى يَسْتَيْقِذَ. Until he's awake. أَوْ يَنْصَرِفَ. Or he returns. ثُمَّ يَعُودُ. Then he should return. وَالصَّبَرْ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. So either wait there until he wakes up or go and come back. وَالصَّبْرُ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. But being patient and waiting is always better. Subhanallah. Again, when we say this is the way of the Salaf and the Sahaba, this is their way. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma kana yajlisu fi talab al-ilm. Ibn Abbas was very young at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he began his journey to seek knowledge, and he would go to every house of the companions and ask them, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? What did he say? How did he react? And this was his talab al-ilm. So kana yajlisu fi talab al-ilm ala babi Zayd ibn Thabit. He would sit at the door of Zayd ibn Thabit hatta yastayqidha, until Zayd woke up. Fayuqalu lahu, someone once told him, ala nuqiduhu lak, should we not wake him up for you? Fayaqulu la, he said no. Right? Because he used to feel as though I'm coming to him for something. I need him, he doesn't need me. Therefore, I have no right to demand he comes out of the house. فَيَقُولُ لَا, he said no. وَرُبَّمَا طَالَ مَقَامُهُ وَقَرَعَتْهُ الشَّمْسُ. Subhanallah. Sometimes he would be waiting there for a long time, to the point where the sun would be beating down on him. وَكَذَلِكَ كَانَ السَّلَفُ يَفْعَلُونَ. And similarly, other early pious Muslims used to do the same thing. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. So we'll bring that to an end, inshallah. We have about 10-15 minutes, 11 minutes or so. If there's any questions regarding anything what we've spoken about today, or otherwise, feel free to ask, inshallah. If you want to send it on the chat or just ask the question, no problem, inshallah. So we'll start, well, next week we will carry on in this way, reading from the book. I hope it's not a bore. I hope it's not boring, because sometimes reading the Arabic and translation can get a bit difficult. It's difficult to keep your attention, but I hope it's okay. If you guys feel as though you want to go back to the way it was before, then let me know, inshallah, we can do that. But yeah, any questions? Bismillah, feel free to ask. How is everyone? I hope everyone's well, inshallah. If you're from England, then I feel for you because, subhanAllah, the weather's been up and down. You can probably hear it in my voice. SubhanAllah, the past come, there were a few days where it was nice, mashallah. Then it got really cold again and everyone's gone ill again, subhanAllah. But la bas tahur, inshallah. There's a lot of hikmah in where you live, and subhanAllah, even the climate here in England, it's so unpredictable. But you, one thing you have to say, you never get bored of the weather, subhanAllah. If you get bored of the cold, then the sun will come along. Even in one day, subhanAllah, there's been a day where we had sun, rain, snow, hail, subhanAllah. So, alhamdulillah. Right. Any questions or any comments? Okay, no questions. Jazakallahu khair. Antum jazakumullahu khairan. May Allah grant us tawfiq to act upon what was said. Ameen. Ameen. Ya Rab. It's difficult. It's easy to say. Even me sitting here, just speaking this way, it's very easy to say. SubhanAllah, it's difficult to put into practice. Especially in the time where you're confronted with a scenario where a teacher does something or says something that doesn't sit right with you or you don't like. It's very difficult. It comes with practice, as is the case with anything. SubhanAllah, I was wondering with the online courses, how would we be as students? Because usually when a teacher used to come into our class, alhamdulillah, there were some students who were very, very considerate of the teacher's needs. So they would arrange the seating area. And we had a system where different teachers would come in one after another. So you'd have a lesson and they'd leave and then another teacher would come. And so there were some students who would arrange the seating area and get fresh water, cover the water with a saucer, and then open the book for the teacher, go to the page where he's going to be reading from. I was just thinking online, subhanAllah, we're deprived of those kind of small favors or small aspects of etiquette. How would you do it? How would you do it online, subhanAllah? I guess the admin, subhanAllah, I think admin takes care of all of that. Allah reward them.
Yeah, Sheikh, subhanAllah. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Sorry, one second. I'm going to just close this because then I can't see who's speaking. Sorry. Right. Stop share. Right. Yeah, so sorry, I think someone's put chat. Okay. Someone's put chat here. Right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hope you're well, Sheikh. May Allah preserve you. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Feels good to attend your lessons and hear your voice after a long time. Subhanallah. Have you been away for a while? I think it was just 1 week I was off. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. Allah reward you for your husnul dhan and your good opinion of a fellow Muslim brother who doesn't deserve it. But subhanallah, I appreciate it. Jazakallah khair. Allah reward you abundantly. Yeah, we can't do those favors for our teachers on here. But yeah, jazakallah khair to the admins. The most you can do on here is probably send an emoji, right? Yeah, that's probably the most you can do online. Right. Okay, there's a couple of minutes left, inshallah. If anyone has any questions. Attended your week, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Allah give you tawfiq. Allah give you even more tawfiq. Increase you in your ilm and your amal. Ameen, ya Rab. Okay. Where are you from, if you don't mind me asking, Brother Nadeem? Leicester. Oh, mashallah. Oh, okay. Very close to home. I used to attend Jamia from Makta. Right, okay.
Assalamu alaikum. I have to leave. Maghrib is setting in.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Of course. Yep, that's fine, inshallah. We have still a little while left, but barakallahu feekum. No worries.
Jazakumullah khair, Ustaz.
Wa antum jazakumullah khair. Used to attend the Mecca. Okay, mashallah. You used to attend there. Brilliant. Alhamdulillah. So, mashallah, you probably had a lot of teachers that probably who I studied with or I know, possibly. Right. Right, so inshallah we will so we'll call it a night, inshallah, and we'll end there. And I will hopefully speak to you guys next week, inshallah. We'll carry on with the course. I don't know how many lessons we are going to have left. Hopefully not too many. I want to try and squeeze everything in a couple of weeks, inshallah. We're already kind of pushing it with the amount of weeks that we advertise, but inshallah, hopefully there'll be benefit in it, inshallah. Right? Inshallah, there'll be faida for all of us, especially me. Jazakumullahu khairan, guys.